room for no more. Shouldn't have any room for any wood nickels. We want to see the Word of God. We went over the scripture today in the men's Bible study, then again in Sunday school, that said men have traded the truth, the truth of God, for the lie. So it's black and white. It's no gray area. It's a line of division drawn. You either have the truth or you have a lie. Truth comes from God. The lie comes from anywhere else. Anywhere else, it's a lie. But Colossians, look at Colossians in the third chapter.
Third chapter of Colossians in your Bible.
The book of Colossians, the third chapter.
Amen. Third chapter.
I'm going to confess, I tried to get away from this. I tried not to even deal with this morning. But boy, if y'all had got the whooping I got for trying not to deal with it, you'll be speaking on it too.
Amen.
But Colossians, the third chapter, and we start at verse 1. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, and it reads, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Therefore, mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscences, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Bow your heads, y'all. We have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, bless your word this morning, Lord. Lord, you say if your word goes out, then souls will come in. Now, Father, we asking you to do what only you can do, Father. Change a man's heart. Change his mind, Lord, about what is true and what is the lie, Lord. Give him the discernment to tell the difference between the two, Father, and the will to choose the right one. Lord, for we know we've all sinned and come short of your glory, Lord. But you said in your word, Father, that if we would just confess our sins, that you're faithful and you're just and you will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Father, we need a cleansing this morning. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you're the teacher. We're all just students here, Lord. So you speak, Father. Speak through me, Father. Give me strength, Lord, to just speak truth, Lord. And you put the power to it, Father. For I know it's not by power nor by might, Father, but by your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now, Lord, we ask you once again, forgive us this morning, Lord. And if there be anything, Lord, that's hindering us from hearing you this morning, you remove it, Lord. Purge us right now, Father. And we'll put the glory, the honor, and the praise where it's justly due, Lord. And that's to you, Father. It's in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, that we do pray. Amen. 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 Now, we're going to take for a thought this morning, family. It's personal, but not private.
It's personal.
It's personal. Everybody love to talk about their relationship with the well. My relationship is personal. It don't matter what you see. It don't matter what I do. I got a relationship with God. God know my heart. Y'all know what they say. But it's personal. Your relationship is personal with God. But it's not private. He saved you to show him forth to the world. So it's not about keeping it hid. Christ said, if you be ashamed of me, if you be ashamed of me in the earth, in your life, while you living, I'll be ashamed of you. Yeah. When it's time for me to vouch for you, I'll be ashamed of you. That's what he said. So, okay, look at verse 1. The first verse we read, he said, If ye be risen with Christ. If ye be risen with. He could have said, if you say. If you say, then you would see those things which are above. Well, what are those things which are above? Is righteousness. Is godliness, is love, is holiness, is faithfulness, is long suffering, is being able to stand somebody else doing wrong. And I mean doing you wrong. Doing you wrong now. Now, when it's easy to look at it when they're doing wrong to somebody else. That's an easy thing to handle. That ain't going to bother you as much. You might not like it, but it's not going to bother you as much as somebody doing wrong to you. But God said you need to forbear that. Because I was patient when you were doing me wrong. I was long suffering when you was out there doing me wrong. This is God speaking, y'all, to each and every one of us. So the Bible tells us there in Colossians in 3:1 that we ought to seek the things that are above. Those are the things from him. Now remember what he said in the beginning. He said, if ye be risen with Christ. So that's the question you're going to have to answer first. Am I saved? And if you're guessing, if you really hadn't just concreted that question in your heart, then you might need to revisit, because I can say per scripture that you're not. That you're not. Because John said we can know. And if that change has come in your life, ain't no way you don't know it. There is no way. It's just like telling me a woman had a baby and didn't know it. Didn't even know it. She had a baby and didn't know it. Come on, that can't happen, y'all. That's the same thing with this salvation thing. But the Bible said, if you be risen with him, she's telling you how to live, how to act here. It's a personal relationship. He said, seek those things which are above. Where Christ is.
That's right.
Well, Christ is a part of that being saved. It's Christ that's come to live in you.
Hallelujah.
And you in him. So if he's sitting there, by proxy, you sitting there.
Amen.
Seek those things which are above, that are up there with him. Those are the very things he came down here and displayed when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know what that display was, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
It was an example of what you are to do when I'm gone. That was an example. He came. God sent him as an example to do what we were, what he created us to do. And that's live right. Treat folk right. Y'all be holy. So which are above, where Christ sit on the right hand of God. See, the Bible don't do nothing just for haphazardly or for circumstances. It's none of that. It mentions the right hand of God for a reason. That's the power side of God, y'all. Now, God is all powerful. We're not saying he has a weak side one way or the other. No. But when the Bible stressed the right hand of God, it's letting you know that they're speaking of power. And the Bible says, seek those things that are up there with Christ, who is on the right side, where the power is. Therefore, you have no excuse. You have no excuse. The power has been given to you, but have you accessed it? Can you access it? Are you doing what it takes to access it? Are you living like you need to live to access it? See, because all that matters. All that matters. If you're not living, you're not walking this walk. I'm talking about truth. I ain't talking about what you tell folk. Because that really don't matter. A mouth, I say it all the time. A mouth will say anything. I got one. I know. I got one. A mouth will say anything. Especially if you're in trouble or you want something. Or you want something. You'll say what you need to say to get what you want. But what the Bible warns us implicitly, God knows your heart. He's the only one who reads your heart. Because he made your mouth. Ain't that what he told Moses? Yeah, Moses, who made your mouth, man? You know I know you will say anything. I made your mouth. Therefore, we must, as we seeking those things which are above,
yes.
We must always realize that God know our intent.
Yes.
See, it ain't even always about what we do. A lot of times about why we did it.
Right.
Why you did what you did.
Yes.
Huh? You fed the man, but was it because the TV camera was over there? Was that your reason? You know, because God's will going to get accomplished. God set out to get that man fed. He fed, made you feed him, and you get no credit for it. You get no credit for it. Them TV cameras, you have your reward. That's your reward. That's it right there, y'all. So we must realize that personal relationship we have must display itself publicly in the earth. Publicly. We have a lot of people who are fearful. Who are fearful to be holy, to live right, to do the right thing. They fearful. But what are they fearful of? Because definitely they're not fearful of the one who the Bible say can kill your body and put your soul in hell. They fearful of the one who can be the reason you ain't driving Mercedes no more. But you're driving, but you just ain't driving Mercedes no more. Now you scared of that all the way to a point where you'll compromise what God has said. Simply because you can't live or appear to uphold a certain image. A certain image. Huh? Your relationship is personal, but it's not private. If that's what you're thinking, we're not going to let that ride today. Look at Romans then. Look at Romans. We said we're supposed to seek the things that are above, where Christ is up there. Romans 6. Go to Romans 6. And look at 6 and 5. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
It's therefore we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Huh? We said we died to the world. We said that's not important to us anymore. That's what we say now. But look what the Bible says. It says in the likeness of his death, we should be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
That's right.
If you done left the sin alone, why are you still doing it? If you died to that life, if that life is behind you, why is it important that your partner still know you got 3 girlfriends? I can't let the church know it. I can't let the pastor know it. My brother, I got to hide it from him. But Junebug now. See, I can call Junebug, get him to drop me off over there. See what I'm saying? We try to play 2 roles and label it personal and private. It's personal. But it's not private. It's so personal to us, it's going to come a point where ain't nobody going to be standing there but you and God. It's that personal. Simply between you and not Junebug, not the deacon, not the pastor, you and God. It's that personal. It's that personal. And what he's going to expose is what you thought was private. It was always right there in plain view for him. A lot of people, we don't truly believe this. That's why we live. That's why it's so easy to live like we live. That's why we can just, when we hear folk killed in Smithfield at a car wash, the homemade car wash or whatever, there they go again and keep on going. We should be grieved about that, man. We should be grieved about that. Because it's by the grace of God, one of the 4 wasn't one of mine.
Yes, amen.
One of the 4 wasn't me.
Yes,
I could have been over there getting my car washed.
Right.
I don't care who washed my car, long as it ain't me. It could have been me. It could have been anybody. It's just simply by the grace of God. Do we look at things like that for real, or do we look at it as that's just the way things are now? Do we seriously see things like the Bible tells us things are? Look at Ephesians, y'all. We're gonna look at a few scriptures and see if we can't see what God is trying to convey to us. Look at Ephesians 2.
Take your time now.
Yeah. Ephesians 2. Yeah, Ephesians 2.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, 2 and let's look at 6.
2 and 6.
And the Bible says, we read in our text scripture that we should seek the things that are above, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at 2 and 6. And it read, and hath raised us up together.
Together.
And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
In Christ.
That was a nice moniker, and it lasted for a long time. You still hear it every now and then now. WWJD. What would Jesus do? People should be able to point at any believer, any true born-again believer, and say, what would he do? Or what would she do? Because all that's the same thing. The Bible tells us to seek the things that are above, that are sitting right there with Jesus at the right hand of God. Those are the things that we should do. The Bible say, if we have been raised with him, that means we died to all the rest of that garbage. Therefore, we should have no problem with doing, not only doing, but doing publicly.
Right.
Openly. Huh? How did Jesus handle the devil? The Bible said he put him to an open shame.
Open shame.
Now, from our physical eyes, looking at that, and I'm sure the people who were at the crucifixion, it didn't look like that to them.
Looked
like Jesus losing this fight. From the looks of it. But the Bible said he put him to an open shame. Why? Because the instrument the devil used didn't have no power over Jesus. Jesus had power over death, y'all.
Amen.
Who else you know defeated it?
Nobody.
Who else you know came back?
No.
All these great people we hear about every day. We see them honoring folks still to the day. They ain't just died, they still dead. They still dead to the day. We serve a living Savior, people.
Amen.
A living Savior.
Lord, thank you.
And because he lived. Oh, hallelujah.
Shall live also.
Because he lived.
Yeah.
I live.
Amen.
I live. I'm died already, y'all.
Yes, sir.
Already died.
Yes.
Not like Pastor said this morning. This old body, it's gonna lay down. It has to. It's dying. It came here dying.
Yeah.
It came here dying.
Yeah.
And you feel it more and more every day.
Every day. Oh, yeah.
But not me. And when he was talking about your awareness, your alertness. I'm no more alert today than I'll be when this body lay down.
That's right.
Same thing, people. Same thing. So we must realize, why shouldn't I use this body to live a public life that displays my personal life with the Savior? Huh? We should. We should. All, not just me. All of us should. All of us should. Go back to Colossians, y'all.
Colossians 3:1.
That's right. Colossians 3:1. Well, let's look at 2. Let's look at 2. It says, set your affection.
Affection.
Set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. But it's the things on the earth that keep us from displaying our personal life with Christ. It's them very things on earth that the Bible tells us not to set our affections on. Don't you get hooked up with this word. That's a hook in your back holding you
back.
From you moving in place. You're on a treadmill. You ain't going nowhere. Because that hook in your back. The Bible says set your affection on things above. To set is to make a conscious decision, y'all. Set your affection. Not to hope when the occasion arises you do the right thing. The Bible says set your affection. That means make up your mind. I'm going to do what's right. I don't care what it costs me.
Amen.
I don't care who don't like it.
Amen.
It's not that I don't care about my family or my children or my wife or whoever. But I have to do, because I care about them, I have to do what's right. Period. Whether you understand it or not, I'm going to be honest, a lot of times I don't understand it. God, it would be so much easier if I just slid over this way a little bit. He said, no, you can't move. I put you on a spot. You're on a rock. Stand right there. Don't move. Don't move. So we must do that. To set our affections is to make that conscious decision. Your mind, to set your mind. Your mind. Then that makes it personal to you. It says set your affections. You can't set anybody else's. A lot of us spin our wheels and waste a lot of time trying to set somebody else's affections. Set your own. Set your own and just live it in front of them. Set your own and live it out. Truly live it out. In front of them. That's what you do. Set your mind, your affections. You can't control nobody else. That's what makes it personal, y'all. We talking about personal, but not private now. Not private. It's personal, but it's not private. It says set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Look at Matthew, y'all. Go to Matthew. The gospel. Matthew's gospel. And look at 6. Try Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 and scare on down under 19. Okay. 19. See, and this is the Lord Jesus talking. He's giving us so much. He's teaching and giving us so much valuable information for our walk in this life right here in these few verses. Look at 19. It's in the read. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. Why? Cause moth to eat them and rust to corrupt them. Where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Where neither moth nor rust does corrupt. And where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can't hardly rest now because you worry about your money and it's in the bank. You worry about the bank. Hey, when I went in there to get them $8 the other day, that dude was looking kind of, he was looking kind of broke back there handling my money. I'm worried about my money. They hired him? You see what I'm saying? We worried about that, but the Bible said don't worry about that. It says set your affections on things and lay up your treasures in heaven. I don't care what happened to that bank. I'm all right. I'm all right. Y'all know the country boy, the Milton gave me the country boy moniker. I'm a city slick. I don't know where he get it from. But I've been the last few months in the woods, and we go from the woods. I watch him walk through the woods and then watch him from the end of my fork all the way from the wood to the table. So we were processing the other day, and we processed 139 pounds of hamburger. Why am I worried about anything? Not that I know so much, but God has made sure that the knowledge to do these things have dwindled their way down to me.
And us.
And us. All of us, you know, have dwindled their way down to me. So laying my treasures up and trying to watch what I'm doing and keep an eye on my stuff, that's an affront to God.
Amen.
That's an affront to God. Boy, I done showed you I'm going to feed you. And not just you, it's going to be some folk around you able to eat because... You see, I'm telling you, we really slap God in the face with a lot of stuff we're doing. God says set your affections on the things above. He, in other words, he's saying depend on him. Y'all stop this worrying about what's going to happen with the stock market and with the, man, quit all that. God going to be God just like he always been God. So we cannot let these things get us in such a tizzy till we really, really been an affront to God. That's what we doing. Back to Colossians, y'all. Back to Colossians. 3, and let's look at 3 then.
3:3.
Oh boy, this one right here. I got stuck right here, people.
Oh, that's a good stuck place.
It said, for ye are dead. Are you? Are you? But ye are dead. And your life is here with Christ in God. Is it? Is it? Huh? Are you dead? And when the Bible say that, it's talking about that old man. Now the Bible also said, reckon yourself to be. In other words, don't get it twisted. He's still there. He's still there. And just when you least expect it, he'll raise his head. He'll raise it. You got to keep that heel on his head, buddy. You have to. The Bible said, reckon yourself to be dead. But now he himself for ye are dead. The apostle talking about the way you should see this. How your personal life should look. In the public's eye. In the public's eye. It's something different about that guy. He just don't do. I know who he was raised with. Now, they said the same thing about Jesus. Ain't that Joseph's son? Ain't that the carpenter boy? They had to ask it because he wasn't operating like that. He wasn't operating like that. Every one of us should be the same way. They should have to ask that about, hey, ain't that... I know that's him. That's him, but yeah, something different about him. Because why? For you're dead. You're dead.
Yes.
That guy they looking for, that guy that they know.
No,
he dead. He's a dead man. He's a dead man. But now he's got some zombie in him because he'll get up. He'll get up. You had to put him back down, people. Saying your life is here with Christ in God. Huh? See, that's security one thing, y'all. That's security because your life is hid with Christ in God, they can't touch it. That's that man they can't kill. That's that man. He can't sin. He can't sin. It's not hard for him. He don't have to be a private Christian. He don't have to be that. Because he don't have that option. This is the only option you have. Is to for you to be dead and for your life to be hid in Christ. If your life is hid in Christ, there's only certain things you're going to do. There's only certain things you're going to say. Period. Ain't no if or ands. It's not open for negotiation. It is what it is. Let them get mad at you. I ain't me no more anyway. What I care about them being mad? They mad at a dead man. Cause my life is hid in Christ, with Christ in God. So we gotta look at it that way, people, because we're gonna be challenged. In this life, we're gonna be challenged. And I thank God gave me this message because we're there. We are there now. It's not a popular thing. Say you holy. Folk go to running from you and spraying Lysol, and they go to doing everything. Spraying like you think, yeah, you think you got the big COVID got you or something. Cause they go to spraying you. Just all you want to do is what's right. Be holy. They act like you got a plague. They act like you got a plague simply because you want to do the right thing. Don't let that deter you because God's not going to accept it as an excuse. He's not going to accept it, y'all. Alright, now in 3 it says you're dead and your life is here with Christ in God. Therefore, you've died to sin. You've died to unrighteousness. You've died to ungodliness. Period. Look at Romans. Look at Romans 6. Look at Romans 6. Yeah, Romans 6. You died to these things. That's what you being dead means. That's right. That means those things that are wrong, those things that are not godly, are no longer an option for you. No longer. Look at Romans 6 and 2. Romans 6 and 2. Where did I start at 1? Said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin?
No.
That's the thing right there. See, then we're going to even try to throw an excuse in there with it. Why? So that grace may abound. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the goodness of God's grace. Won't it look better if we...
Yes.
No. 2 said, God forbid.
God forbid.
How should we that are dead to sin? How are we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How does that happen? Now, didn't we just read in Colossians where it said, I'm dead? So the Bible asks the question, okay, if you're dead, then how is it? How is it that you can keep the Apostle Paul making it clear though right here? That's not the standard, y'all. That's not the way it's supposed to be, because he put it in a question form. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Then he said, God forbid. God forbid. How shall we? Huh? If you dead man can't do nothing. Dead man can't do nothing. So how can you live any longer than in? You can't. You can't live in that. God has activated something in you that will drive you slap out your mind. Trying to claim God's salvation, God's holiness, and your old man, and your old habits, and your old sin. He will drive you out your mind with that, with conviction, with conviction. Ain't nobody got to, nobody got to put their hands on you. Hear you what you are, what he wired into you and activated in you at salvation to deal with you. He said he deal with us as children. As his children.
Amen.
I don't care what the government say, I love mine enough to whoop them. I love them enough to whoop them. You know what I'm saying? And that's real love. I ain't talking about exercising authority. I know I got that. I don't have to do that. I know I got that. The problem is you don't know I got it. But you finna find out. You finna find out. Been down that road and God got me through it. As imperfect as it was, he got me through it. You know, so they all still here. I ain't locked up. So now, why wouldn't I stand and let my life be the example for these very people that I'm willing to knock out and shake till they break, all this stuff, just to get them to a point where I can speak the truth of God's word to them and let God do what only God can do? Let that happen like that. Let that happen like that. He had to hit me with a 2x4, but prayerfully, he can let my words. They don't, our children don't care nothing about what we talking about if they don't see how we living. They don't care nothing about it. I know you saying that, but. We have to have our personal relationship strong. But don't try and live a private Christian life. It's not going to work. It's never going to work. God's not going to let it work. Look at Galatians, y'all. I mean, we all know this one. 2:20. Galatians 2:20. See, the Bible keeps talking about us being dead. Us being dead, and it's talking about our old life, our natural man, That's what the Bible's talking about being dead, is that natural man. Talking about dead to what? We said sin, unrighteousness, ungodliness. Huh? We dead to that. Galatians 2 and 20 said, I'm crucified with Christ. Christ was crucified, he died, right? So I'm dead with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh. That's this life right here on this earth that I'm trying to keep private, but maintain my personal relationship with the Lord. Not realizing I ain't gonna be able to do that. You ain't gonna be able to do that. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If he did that, why can't I give me back for him? All I have to do is live, right? And like Deacon D always said, the blessed life is the best life. He's trying to help me. Won't I let God help me? Won't I let God help me? That's all I got. Obey him. Be obedient. Let God help you. Back to Colossians, y'all. If we'll let God help us, he want to. He want to. I mean, look how over and he didn't kill us. That's proof enough right there. He want to help us. He didn't kill us. Every right to. And would have been just. Would have been just. But instead of killing us, he killed his son who didn't do nothing. Who didn't do nothing? Why? Because killing you wouldn't offer them nothing.
That's right. You ain't good for nothing.
Killing you wouldn't offer them a thing.
That's right.
It just all the way back to Abraham. And the Bible said when he couldn't swear by no greater.
No greater.
He swore by himself. He did the same thing to redeem me. To redeem you. When there wasn't nothing out there to satisfy his wrath. He wrapped himself in an earth suit. And came and did it himself.
Couldn't buy nobody.
Woo, that's love. That's love. Quit looking for love. Just embrace that.
Yes.
Embrace that.
Yes.
You get you some of that.
Yes.
You'll quit looking. You ain't got nothing to look for. Like the song says, search all over. Couldn't find nobody. There he is right there, y'all. Get you some of that. Get you some of that. All right, Colossians 3:9-4, he said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall you appear also with him in glory. Shouldn't that be all of our goals, y'all? Shouldn't that be what we all want? And truthfully, God has hardwired you with something that do want that. You may have calloused your heart over so much till you can't feel it right now, but it's in there. You can't feel it. You can't reach it, but God can. He can. He can touch it and activate that thing. I don't care where you at. And the only thing he used to do that is this word. That's why we here today. That's why we here today. To give God what he said he needs to work with. And that's his word, y'all. That's his word. So ain't nothing wrong with having a personal relationship. I ain't saying that at all. But it's not private. It's not private. And you quit trying to make it private. Quit trying to make it private, y'all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The fact that Christ is our life, we just said that. That's what the Bible says in 4. That should cause us to endeavor to live countercultural to this world. That's what it should cause. That's what it should activate. See, the Apostle Paul asks, should we sin more so that grace... No. But the rightful reaction is, it should cause us to endeavor to live counterculture to what the world says. That's what the word does. Because sin is so egregious. Because sin causes Christ is life. Not Christ's sin, my sin. Cost Christ his life. And it cost me mine. Until he saved me. Until he saved me. And if you still in it, I don't care what it is. What the sin is. Don't let the world tell you ain't nothing wrong. You loving him. And you are him too. It is something wrong with it. It's something wrong with it. It's something wrong with it. And I'm not going to go along to get along. I'm not going to keep God in me right here. No, I'm going to stand right out here and say it in open. That's what he said. How you think I heard it? He said it openly. So that's what we must do. It's not a private thing. We got to say what God has said. Period. If you're not willing to do that, then I'm telling you, the very thing you're trying to get along with is who you're going to spend your eternity with. And God has created a lake for that, y'all. The lake of fire. Look at Matthew. Look at Matthew. We said we ought to endeavor now to live counter-cultural to this world. Look at Matthew 7. Yeah. Counter-cultural to this world. So we can all agree that when we say the world, we're talking about most of the people in existence now. That's the word. We're talking about the majority of the people. Well, look at 7 and 13. And it's telling you what most of the people had. Say, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many that be which go therein. That's the world. There are many. That's the world. But 14 said, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. People, as beautiful as the word of God is, that's one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible to me. Exactly like it is. Few there be that find it. And we must realize that, y'all. Just think, if the few is talking about the world that find it, let's break it down to families. How few is that in the family? Won't be everybody, but we can rest assured it's going to be who God said it is. We might well get a hold of that. See, this God's thing, y'all. This God's program. I'm just thankful he adopted me to be a part of it. So I can accept how he says it's going to be. Period. Now, my job is to make sure every one of my family have the opportunity. Have the opportunity to accept this such a great salvation that God has given. So if I want to be helpful, if I want to be loving to them, live it out in front of them and give them the opportunity. How do you do that? By speaking the gospel to them. How do I start anywhere else? When Christ said go, he said start in Jerusalem. Start right here. How can I go anywhere else and do anything? And I hadn't even mentioned this greater salvation at the house. It don't work like that, people. It does not work like that. Okay, back to Colossians then. Let's go back to Colossians 3 and 5. Here we go. I love them first five because they all make it clear. But it's about killing some and dying. You know, not that I'm just so macabre till I love death, but I know that death there brings forth life. That's where life comes from, this death. 5, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. See, he's making it clear. He's making it clear this life you living can't be lived in private. You got to kill that private life, that love, that sin that you endorsed and engaged in so long. So, which are upon the earth, Fornication. He gave them to you, y'all. Fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscences. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Now flip on over to Romans. Let's go back to Romans. Romans 8. Romans 8, and let's look at 13. Oh boy. 8 and 13. When you get that, say amen. Well, if ye live after the flesh, that means striving and desiring and reaching for these earthly things. That's after the flesh, y'all. Ye shall die. God don't pull no punches. He don't use no bunch of unnecessary words. Three words. If you do that, you shall die. Period. You can put the exclamation point right there. That's it. That's what's going to happen. That's what he say. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body. Remember we just said, that's that stuff that we love to do in this flesh suit. That we're using our dad Adam nature, that we no longer have if we're born again. We got a new nature then. We said born again, rebirth, not turn over a new leaf, not put on some clean clothes. We ain't do none of that. It's a total new life. Period. A total new life. Said the deeds of the body, if we do that, then what happened? You shall live. So Joshua put it like this: I offer to you today death and life. Choose ye this day. Death or life. And every one of us have to make that choice, y'all. As we have to make that choice. But as believers now, we must remain faithful.
Yes, sir.
And stay obedient. There's two things we got to do. Look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter. There's two things we must do, y'all. And that's remain faithful and stay obedient. 1 Peter, look at 3. 3 and go down to 13.
3 and 13.
Now, this God asking you a question now. Now, who is he that'll harm you if you be followers of that which is good? You have no excuse. You have no excuse. God just assured you. Can't nothing hurt you. Following me, I have to allow anything that happens to you to happen to you. I have to allow that. So, there's a question. Who is he that'll harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed or happy are you. Huh? And be not afraid of they terror. Let them cut your check off. Huh? If you know the check maker, what you care about them cutting your check off? That's just the avenue he used to get the money to me. He got all the other avenues. They his too. Y'all know that, right?
Amen.
They is too. So he can provide regardless to how he choose or what he choose to use to do it. He said, happy you are, blessed you are, and be not afraid of that terror, neither be troubled. Don't be worried. He said, but sanctify the Lord
in your heart.
Same thing. Set your affection. Make up your mind. This is what you're going to do. You're going to do the right thing no matter what. He said, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. With meekness and fear. Now he said, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? We do what's right. And we live the life that he has given us, this born again, salvific life, we live it not in private, but in front of the world. If we're going to sanctify the Lord God, we got to say what he says. No matter what it costs, no matter what your earthly consequence, because you got your heavenly consequence. He said, if you do it, you'll live. But if you don't, you'll die. He's already given you the consequences. Why are you listening to some other consequences? What's going to happen if you don't go along? If you don't allow your child to get this, take these pills to withhold or to stop his testosterone. If you don't allow this, we going to come take him. We going to lock you up. Well, Polycarp said, and Polycarp, y'all know, they told Polycarp, keep on talking like you talking. I got wild bees. Polycarp said, well, call your bees. Call your bees. It don't change nothing. It don't change a thing. The three Hebrew boys, fired up. What, you need some more gas? I got a little can over here. Fired up. We're not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, we have nothing to think about. We have nothing to think about. My life with the Lord is personal. True, true, true. I give you that. But it's not private. I got to stand in the middle of downtown Birmingham and say God's word is right. If that's what he called for me to do. If that's where I am and they ask me, that's why I got to tell them. Why? Because the Bible say, sanctify the Lord in your heart. When it's in your heart, it's going to come out of your life. It's going to come out of you openly and publicly. So that life you think that's private. Oh, he see it. I'm going to bust your bubble. He see it. He saw what you did after the Super Bowl party. He saw where you went.
Oh, boy.
He saw all that. Yeah, he saw. He was there. He was there with you. That's right. That's right. The Bible said put all that to death. And it said your earthly members. So, i.e., in just in proxy, it's talking about the sin. The sin of it all. So Peter say that us as believers, we got to stay obedient, remain faithful, and sanctify the Lord. Holy in our heart. In our heart. So facing difficulty because things get hard, because they tell you the consequences of you not doing it, is not a reason, not an occasion for you to rebel. God is not going to accept that as an excuse. Well, you know, God, they said they were going to fire me if I. Well, I'm going to fire you now. How about that? I'm going to fire you now because you didn't. I much rather lose that whatever on this side. We dealing with something we can't afford to lose, y'all. We can't afford to lose it. That's right. You got to hold on to it. In order to do it, you must remain faithful and stay obedient. In other words, do what the Word of God tells us to do. Period. Your relationship is personal, and that's fine. God deal with us personally. But I ain't nothing private about it. Live it out in public. That's what's wrong with us now. That's why we went 50 years killing babies.
50 years.
Huh? Most of this country supposed to be Christian or believers or whatever. But you went 50 years murdering babies. Some ain't jiving here, y'all. Some ain't jiving. All these churches in our cities, and we had 6 folks murdered in less than 24 hours. This just a couple of days ago. And y'all, what we don't realize a lot of time until they publicize it like they did, this is really what's going on every day. This was happening every day. Even in our community, the Center Point area up there, you hear about somebody getting shot or killed every day. Every day. Come on. It should grieve us. It should grieve us. But the fact of the matter is, it's somebody trying to keep their relationship private. They're trying to keep their relationship private. instead of standing out of these places praying to this great God, he said, who can harm you if you follow me? If we truly believe that, it looks like we'll stand out and cry out to him publicly. Publicly. We want to do everything in private, y'all. And we don't serve a private God. We serve a personal God, but we don't serve a private God. Therefore, let the day, if that's something we haven't been doing, the beauty of it is we serve a forgiving God. We serve a God who will let you start right where you at right now. Right this minute. So if that was for you, because it was for me, y'all, I'm telling you, it was definitely for me. But if that was for you, let today, ask the Lord today to change your view on this thing. And give you the will, the strength to sanctify him holy in your life. All right, let's bow heads, y'all. Thank you, Father, for your word. Now, Lord, you said if your word go out, souls would come in, Lord. Now, you do what only you can do, Father. Bring people unto thyself, Lord. And give us the strength, Lord, the wisdom to stand firm, Father. And live our personal lives out in front of the people, in front of the world, Father. Show forth the authority, the ability that you have given us, Father, to do what is right in thine sight, Lord. In your eyes, we know, Lord, the battle is the truth versus the lie. Show us the truth, Father. Reveal what is true to us, Lord, and we'll be so mindful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.